Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Welcome back to Greenwashed. We're with Jaspreet and Don this morning. And as promised, we are going to be talking now about an NGO, a non-government organization. But this time, we are going to be talking about the Insurance Council of New Zealand. And icnz.org.nz is their website. And if there's one thing that has touched us all this year, it is the fact that our premiums have risen. Ours have risen personally, in depending on, you know, between business and work. 25% of an increase is what my husband and I have seen in our premiums. I think, Don, you spoke about something like 30% a while back.
Yes, and moreover, I have, after 40 plus years with the same provider, I have moved. I didn't like doing it, but I just couldn't stomach what I was seeing. So like for like, I'm looking like I'm saving $2,000 or $3,000, but who'll know in the end? Maybe they're harder to get claims through. Don't know whether I've made the right decision, but my hand was forced. You can't keep paying premiums, thinking you're a loyal customer, doing everything right, and then finding that you, without, in my case, they normally ring me annually and have a chat. This year, none, until it was too late. And they expected I'd just suck it up and pay the extra premium. I said no. My loyalty is over, and I did some research and I got some significant savings. The other argument will be is, but Don, you've just been seduced into a 1-year contract. Next year, wait for the increase that you should have got this year. And that's the other worry. So look, I know how it works. You think you've got a saving this year, but often it isn't for long.
Yeah, it isn't for long. And it's no surprise we are seeing this. We had Chris Fafoi. That's a real familiar name, ex-Labour MP, who is now the chief executive of the Insurance Council. He put out a statement in May on behalf of the Insurance Council stating that weather events such as Cyclone Gabriel and the Auckland anniversary floods are to blame for the rising costs of insurances. The cost of insuring a house has increased 6 times faster than incomes for the year to March, while car insurance premiums were up 40% for the same quarter. The Insurance Council says there's been too many extreme weather events and climate change thing. The insurance sector wants people to think of natural hazard risk when we are making planning decisions on how and where we put infrastructure, because we are a risk-based business and that's the only way insurance can be sustainable. Now, some of you might have listened to the full podcast that he did, but the basic take-home message was climate change-related weather, not just weather events. It's being prefixed by this adjective, climate change-related weather is becoming an issue. And that's why Don and I thought, where else to go this time? Let's talk about how Insurance Council New Zealand has been a part of pushing some of these agendas which we see coming through center government of in the form of unabated climate hysteria. Now, they've also had a recent conference in March where they spoke about the risks of climate change and what else is happening. But what all of us know is our premiums are certainly rising. We spoke earlier today, as we have for the last month, about the fact that last night closed these submissions for this inquiry into coastal adaptation. The government wants managed retreat, calls it coastal adaptation, and wants a legislated framework for it, because we can't have people choosing their own destinies. We must have one for all for one. And Simon Watts, the Minister for Climate Change, is essentially carrying on the work of ex-climate minister James Shaw. When this submissions process was begun last year, There was a few groups who had put in their submissions, and I found it very telling in that last year's compiled submission. Gosh, how many times in a segment can I use the word submission, Dawn? But
Don't give in is the key. Don't give in. Don't submit.
Don't submit to the submissions, yes, Dawn. But in the compilation that was on parliament.nz website as part of the document, you could have a look before putting in your thoughts. was this particular document about the role of the private sector, because a whole lot of insurances, insurance agents, bankers, NGOs submitted last year to James Shaw Inquiry saying that, yes, we must expedite managed retreat, coastal adaptation. So that document said that the majority of submitters suggested that banks and insurers are key private sector actors that can support adaptation outcomes. By pricing risk and sending clear market signals, banks and insurers can have a profound effect on an individual level. It can force a reduction in investment in high-risk areas. And who determines these high-risk areas?
Yeah, what parameters have they used?
RCP 8.5, Dawn.
Exactly.
Completely debunked scenarios, but here we are.
It's like they're abrogating risk to unproven sciences and implausible sciences. Now, science, so that's their first error, abrogating risk to a concept that is deemed implausible. That doesn't seem fair, does it? You read of other concepts where they say they make sure people shouldn't build on floodplains, but you've got 50-100-year sunk investment, and you're being told that's no good anymore. That doesn't seem fair either. As the tail risk consultants report to the Kapiti Coast talked about, and some of the beaches there was a 1 to 3 cent return for every dollar spent on climate or on coastal inundation mitigation. So that wasn't a good payback, was it? So what are the insurance council on about here? Do they think they know more than we do?
They do, actually, and they get most of their information from the same globalist players, just like councils and our center government, in fact, gets its planning scenarios, its climate risk scenarios from the United Nations IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. So does the Insurance Council of New Zealand. If you go to the website, icnz.org.nz, and go to About, scroll down and click Partnerships, it's pretty telling what they are talking about. The website says that ICNZ, Insurance Council of New Zealand, has been a supporting institution of the United Nations Environmental Programs Principles of Sustainable Insurance. They call it the PSI. Initiative since 2012 and has developed a 15-point action plan for better protecting New Zealand from natural disasters. ICNZ is also proud, under the same partnerships tab on the website, it says, to be a certified zero-carbon business operations with ECOS. We measure and offset the carbon footprint of our business operations and have been doing so for the 20 years with certified carbon credits. It has also signed, just goes on and on, their partnership data, and I really like transparency. It's all out there on their website. It has also signed the United Nations Statement in Support of Disaster Risk Reduction at the 3rd UN Conference on the Disaster and Risk Reduction in Sendai, Japan. It is also a signatory to the Paris Pledge for Action, and they support the Universal Climate Agreement. That's the Paris Accord, which was released at COP21 in Paris in 2015. So, you know, there you have it.
Well,
we have,
It's not hard, is it? You've had this big agenda being pushed for years called through the climate change pathway. Mm. It is just a panacea for everyone to have massive talk fests and set up major systems, massive systems, actually, that you and I should comply with at great cost. That's what it is. And no matter where you look, Jaspreet, no matter what we do, this is going to be what we find. And you're great at finding it. And heck, what would happen if all this was unbundled and all of a sudden we're told there's something bigger than net zero, and there's something bigger than managed retreat, and there's something bigger than all of this that we need to fight? Would these people all go and join in the fray to fight for liberty and freedom and all the rest of it. Would they find it quite hard going because they've been closeted by the privilege they've had out of all this blinking job machine?
They wouldn't know liberty and freedom and all those things we talk about if it hit them in the face down. They have absolutely no respect or concept even of what sovereignty of a nation means. Everything comes down from the United Nations. And yeah, I know I'm a one-trick pony, but it is just out there in my face. Every organization that you look up at has either signed up to the Paris Accord, the UN Sustainable Development Goals, the UN Environmental Programs Principles, all of this. ICNZ is also a proud member, it says, of the Global Federation of Insurance Associations, GFIA, with its last chief executive, Tim Grafton. Currently, it is our ex-Labour minister, Chris Fafoye, at the helm. But before him, there was Tim Grafton, who was on the executive committee of the Global Federation of Insurance Associations. And it's, again, it was to have a unified voice. Any dissent must be quelled because, you know, we hear this term diversity thrown around so much these days. Yet this lot quiver at any thought of diversity of thoughts. It's for them, diversity is everyone come to the same point. Everyone take your orders from the same unaccountable globalist busybodies and give up any shred of taking care of your own back, and any shred of honesty even, the way I look at this.
Yep. Tim Grafton, he was there for a long, long time, and he no doubt thought he was doing a great job for the right reason. So, but when I read his final report as chief executive of the New Zealand Council, he talks about there are also physical risks with social and environmental consequences. He goes on to say, a more uncertain and volatile world needs frameworks that reduce risk and build resilience. Well, that's what open markets do. But then he goes on to say, wicked problems like climate change and cyber risk require systems solutions where insurers play a part, but necessarily alongside other sectors. So guess what that means? Other taxpayers, other ratepayers, other people that are going to pay for something.
That's a very telling post. That's a LinkedIn post by Tim Grafton when he signed out of his CE role at the Insurance Council of New Zealand. The very last line of that LinkedIn post says, new types of partnerships may be needed for lies ahead. Now, you may call it whatever you think. There are some who've said that democracy needs a bit of tweaking. There's some who call it new partnership. There's some who call it public-private partnership. But, you know, to cut through the bullshit, all it means literally is don't listen to your communities. You do. It comes top down and you follow the dictates that we tell you. Those who vote for you, be damned. And that's why we see that rinse and repeat, Dawn. The more things change, the more they stay the same. You elect the new guard, the old guard goes, and nothing else changes.
Yep, it's all about the movement of capital and who can get something into their pocket to move it their way somehow. It's hard to explain, but I think you see it more clearly than most, Jaspreet. And it's something that, as Kiwis, we've probably got a bit blasé about for years. We trust these people. They're doing the right thing and for the right reason. And we've just put a lot of trust into people that have slowly been moving my effort, your effort, their pocket. You just get sick of it.
I mean, people are now beginning to talk about managed retreat, though I should qualify, but think people at the Kapiti Coast have been dealing with that sort of nonsense based on false, completely useless models like RCP 8.5 for over a decade. But on 3rd June 2022, the Insurance Council of New Zealand put in their submission to the Ministry for Environment. It's available on their website. They call it the ICNZ submission on the draft national adaptation plan, including managed retreat. This is 2022. This is more than 2 years ago. And in their key point summary, they spoke about managed retreat. They said the government needs to identify and prioritize those areas of highest intolerable risk intolerable risk needs to be holistic, social, environmental, cultural, etc. Acknowledge that manage or treat in almost all situations will be a last resort if it's feasible. Take a greater focus on the roles and responsibilities for adapting to climate impacts, which will need greater clarity about tackling manage or treat. This thing has been festering in the backlogs of the governments for a very long time. There are consultants, there are public servants, there are bureaucrats who know this has been in the works for a very long time. And just when you thought it was only the Capiti Coast that was going to bear the brunt of it, guess what? We are going to legislate managed retreat now, because they may call it an inquiry, the submission that ended yesterday. What it is, I think, just an eyewash. It is just sort of going through the motions of a so-called consultation, asking you for your submissions, but they will do exactly what was intended all along. And I bet we'll be a world first again, Don. A world first again, or a national, a country that has, you know, managed retreat legislated everywhere.
World first in New Zealand. Yep, we're right up there. We want to be in the highlights of the world and the headlights of the world. It is disappointing. You don't have to travel far on the planet, and you do see property being built right on the coastline.
Mm.
Now, they may have different topography than New Zealand. They may have different storm patterns in the seas. I don't know. But, yeah, I actually, my radar is up with all this stuff, actually. And I, of course, I'm big on property rights, private property rights. And, you know, I'm also big on private people taking their own risks a bit more than yep. perhaps they might. So, is it a role for government and council to be so in your face about it? Or why do they think they can be in your face so much about it? Is it because New Zealanders have become used to having the government hold their hand when things go wrong? Always. And I don't, look, again, this will sound awful because the people that have had floods, I've only ever had one in my life and I hated it. Floods, or they've had issues on their property that cost them a lot to repair, and or they've disturbed their life or their business. I don't underscore the damage that does to you psychologically. But in fact, whose responsibility is it to manage that? Is it the states, or is it the individuals, or is it a mix of both? And I think in New Zealand, we've become quite used to letting the government take over authority over our private property, basically.
Yes,
sounds cruel to say it that way. Sounds cruel to say it that way, doesn't it?
But I agree with you, Don. All of this has been happening right under our noses. You only have to go to the NZIA website and click under partnerships to see where all of this is coming from. And I was listening to this fabulous interview that Alistair Harding did with Catherine Austin Fitz the other day about CBDCs and all. And she said something about New Zealanders. And she said, you know, you live in a small country. You've had peace for a long time. You expect your government to take care of you. And you're a people who are who have been put into this stupor of, you know, Big Brother taking care of you. Perhaps it's time to take care of ourselves and maybe even, you know, live life on the wild side.
Yeah, live life on the wild side. There's a song about that. It's interesting. I'd never really put that sort of angle that I've just presented to you in a sentence, but I am starting to think, I actually don't want these people to be looking out for me anywhere, anytime. I do want local authorities to be, and the roading authorities of New Zealand to be looking out for bridges and roading. I do want them to be looking out for my access to the network of the country. I pay for it dearly. I want them to be managing that right. But I don't need them to be telling me I can't build a property, build some infrastructure on my property because they think they deem it unsafe, or in the future, some implausible weather pattern's going to nail it and flush it out to sea. I'm struggling with it all.
Exactly. And that's probably why today we decided, Don and I, to talk about the Insurance Council of New Zealand as an NGO, because it's not typically what you think of as an NGO, but that is what Don and I agree that we feel it is. It is a body that is helping push the same agendas, the global agendas, into our lives here. Everything it takes, the directions it takes us from the UN or anyone else, anyone bar the ones who actually pay the premiums.
Yeah, and they're not trying to hide it from us, Jaspreet.
No, they're not. I love the transparency there. Yeah.
It's all there. I mean, in fact, even in the last sentence of a press statement from their March conference said, delegates left the meeting united in getting to the heart of the problem, finding ways to move people away from risk-prone areas.
There you have it.
Well, says it all for me. But in the end, South Invercargill was a risk-prone area in 1984. It's put up some significant flood banks on the Aridi River from about 50 miles inland all the way down. Invercargill hasn't had a flood of the 1984 significance since. But there is a lot that we can do to manage floods better in this country, and we talk about it every year. It is about river management. But now I see, I'm going on a wee bit, but now I'm seeing that the promoters of some of this discussion talk about we should just let the waters from the headwaters run freely over the plains. Let's get rid of flood banks. Let's get rid of all those protection mechanisms that have been paid for by previous generations. And I was just thinking about where my extended family came from, Whakatane. I remember going into Whakatane and seeing a flood bank that was actually higher than the houses on the other side. And I thought, they've put a lot of cash into saving themselves from big floods that come down those rivers there. And they seem to cope with it just fine. Is that not good enough anymore? Is it not good enough?
So there it is. This is your call for you to decide whether you think it's all right that your entire lives, every aspect of it, your safety, your well-being should be managed by those who cannot even right now manage your roads well. Or is it time to somehow try to take fate into our own hands, our future, and perhaps be a bit more proactive and get our authorities also to do practical steps rather than ideological nonsense, which is what much of this climate coastal mitigation is based on. Maybe it's time to ask your insurers to quantify, to dollarize your increased premium, that how much of the increase in your premium that you've seen this year have they attributed to climate change, and how much is it due to inflation alone? There's a thought for you. Don and I will be back after a short break. Thank you so much for joining us on Greenwash this morning. 2057 is our number, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.